Wo finden Sie Shops von McCain, Aigner und Liu Zhou? Tür an Tür. Nur im Ingolstadt Village. Der Besuch dort ist jetzt ein Muss. Denn bei vielen Marken ist bereits die Herbstware eingetroffen. Und die ist schon zu Saisonbeginn um bis zu 60% reduziert. Saisonstart im Ingolstadt Village.
This is the Sports Kings, brought to you by Kings Court in Houston on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Mean Gene the Sports Machine and David Ramone.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Sports Kings Show, Sports Kings and Queen. And once again, we are minus a queen tonight, so that means no Dolores Lozano. And David, you know what happens. Every time D-Lo is not here, we get out of control.
Well, usually, you know what happens, Gene. Whenever someone's not here, that just gives you all the reason for me to just talk about you, because she's not the only one who's missing either. Like, we can't forget about the other person who's missing either.
Yes, yeah. Jose Portilla is not here. Jose is far out there in the Pacific Northwest enjoying much-needed time off.
Him and Gio got to catch a couple Mariners and Astros games. They got to go represent out there.
Can you believe it? Who let them loose out there on the West Coast?
We're going to let Jose slide. He's hardworking.
Okay,
he deserves it. But we're still going to talk about him today.
Yeah, we'll talk about him. So anyway, we have a big show for you tonight. It's a Thursday, August 23rd, 2018. Lots of NFL preseason taking place tonight. And, of course, this weekend, week two of the NFL preseason. So we'll jump into that. Later on in the show, we are going to talk to five-time NBA champion, NBA Defensive Player of the Year, five-time NBA All-Defensive Player. Good Lord. Can I say any more about the great Los Angeles Lakers? Michael Cooper will join us in this first hour to talk about his new team and his new big event taking place tomorrow night in Brooklyn, New York, as part of the Big Three Championship, Three's Company versus Power. Should be exciting.
Oh, no. And if you've been watching this whole season, it's been, to me, I think it's a little bit better than last year, just because when it comes to the marketing and everything they've been doing, and I think they've been getting a lot of more TV plays.
Yeah.
And, you know, it being live also is
that made one hell of a difference.
Yeah, because, of course, you had people tweeting out the scores and doing the stuff
like
that.
Oh, my goodness. That was just like
it was playing on a Sunday, then it'll air Monday.
Just like watching the Olympics, you know, exactly. Finding out, you know, a bunch of spoiler alerts. But
this year, it was definitely amazing when we got to go kick it out when it came in Houston.
Your second year in a row covering this now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I feel like a
– how about that?
Yeah.
So, anyway, folks, so stick around if I was you for the next 2 hours as we get into our – favorite tweets of the week coming up in the next segment. You're listening to the Sports Kings minus the Queen tonight here on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Sports Kings on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Mean Gene the Sports Machine and David Ramone.
All right, we are back once again. It's the Sports Kings and Queen, minus the Queen tonight, D-Lo. Not in studio tonight, but it is Mean Gene, David Ramone, and I forgot to acknowledge who's taking Jose Partida's place tonight. We always like to give our producers all the credit in the world because they are so great. We got Jacob Payne. Jacob, what's up, man?
Not a lot. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good.
Looking good.
Thank you, sir. We're trying to, you know, get through
today.
Thursday.
I knew you were coming in. First impressions of everything.
I don't want to come across a little too forward. But
So the hat that you're wearing, is that?
Yeah, it's a hat.
Talk about it.
I really like the retro look. Just going to put it out there. I'm not a fan. It's the old Kelly Green 70s era Philadelphia Eagles hat.
Yeah.
Just didn't feel like brushing my hair.
Are you a fan?
You probably know the feeling.
Yeah. I've had that problem.
I feel the Eagles and the Oilers are up there when it comes to retro.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess, you know, popular retro.
Right. And the sad part about that is you'll never see the nice Oilers hat. Retro, at least not in Houston.
Yeah, I know.
That is sad.
That is very sad, but that's a nice hat. I like that. So do you like the Eagles?
They're okay. I mean, I'm a Texans fan.
Okay, got you. Got you. The fact that the Eagles are 0-2 in the preseason. I wonder if Eagle fans are
Super Bowl hangover, for sure.
That's exactly what it's called. But, hey, man, we are glad to have you here tonight. We're going to have fun tonight.
It's going to be
a long show. So this is part of the show where David's come up with this unique, social media deal.
Well,
here.
It's really to make sure that you're in with the times, Gene.
Yeah, this was all designed for me.
Yeah. All for you because, you know, you stick to the Facebook and you don't like going out your realm. So, you know, we kind of
like
have to bring
news,
you out of
okay?
You
like the fake news.
All right. Like, you know, putting up whatever link you see. Oh, I got you. So I got two for this week. And my first one is a little personal. Mr. Mark Spears from Undefeated actually tweeted this out. Actually, one of my old coaches, Mr. Ansar Alamin, is now the head coach for an HBCU program down there in Florida, Florida Memorial University. And if anyone knows Ansar Alamin or if it rings any bells, he actually trains a lot of NBA players, Jamal Crawford, Paul Pierce, LeBron, Melo, a lot of guys. And it couldn't happen to any more of a nicer guy, a well-deserving person. For the year that I was with him at the program at Texas Southern, one of the people that you can definitely just have a really just, you know, cool conversation about anything. He's from Cali, so Fresno State guy, you know, big Raiders fan, you know, just one of those regular people that you can just sit down and have a conversation with. But once you get him talking about basketball, he turned into a whole nother guy. So, big ups to Mr. Coach Alamin over there in Florida.
How about that?
Just seeing him, saw it this morning too, and from all people, you know, Mark Spears just tweets it out and that caught me by surprise. And like I said, there's not a person who's more deserving. And if you notice his name or see his name in the upcoming years because he got a better job, don't be surprised. And my next one actually is this is a thing too. So it's actually, I don't just have a personal tweet that from this one, but it's just the things it's putting out. There's go at them too.
Oh,
it's
no.
90s WWE.
Oh my goodness.
And all it is just perfect videos from the heyday of WWF and the transition of WWE. So
right.
Like pretty much any memorable moment, they have already tweeted out the whole video of
it. Is that Stone Cold?
Stone Cold getting a finger from the Undertaker, and that's pre American Badass Undertaker. So I mean, this is just a whole bunch of just nuggets that they've been dropping all day, and I can literally stay on that Twitter the whole day and just rewatch. And one of my favorite ones was The Rock doing an impression of Stone Cold, Undertaker, and Kurt Angle. There's not, other than Ric Flair, there's not a lot of people that can just sell you something the way The Rock used to do on WWF. There's just not a way someone can just saute the mic and just look at you in the eye from the camera, look in the eye on the nation, and be able to sell you a fight, knowing that it's fake, but you're going to watch it anyways.
Yeah,
regardless,
because of the hype.
Everything that he did was perfect, and no wonder why that he's such a successful actor right
now. Those guys are some of the best hype men in any sport.
You have
boxing, you name it, they are your hype men.
This is why the transition, from being a wrestler to being an actor is so
easy.
Because
they're already there. Yeah, that's true. Well, you know what? I only have one favorite tweet, and it is a good one indeed. I found out that Kobe Bean Bryant, is celebrating his 40th birthday today. Happy birthday, Kobe Bryant. All over Twitter. All over Twitter.
Lordy, lordy.
Lordy, lordy, lordy. Kobe Bryant. And, I'm sure all Laker fans or even all NBA fans, you got a favorite Kobe Bryant moment. And I guess for many people, it's the 81 points that he put up on Toronto. Maybe
on Jalen Rose.
Jalen Rose. That's his favorite moment. But no, I actually had a one-on-one interview with Kobe Bryant in the locker room. Kobe was young. I was a young journalist and eager to talk to Kobe. Wasn't this big then? He was up and coming. So imagine, you know, having that conversation with a
was Nick Van Exel still on the team?
No.
I gotta know how old this was. Was this before the championship?
Nick, no, this was heading into the year of a championship. So 2000. So I got a chance to interview.
So this is Afro Kobe.
Oh yeah, this was definitely Afro Kobe. So,
are you going to talk about the picture I showed you today?
Oh yeah, to celebrate his and this is on Twitter, to celebrate Kobe Bryant's 40th birthday. He is wearing a T-shirt that says 39 plus the middle finger.
In all Kobe fashion.
In Kobe fashion and with a smile like nothing to it, right?
I was really disappointed that it wasn't a Nike t-shirt, though, because, I mean, that means someone definitely either went to the beauty supply store or went to the corner store and got him this t-shirt just to wear. Or maybe he made it, because, I mean, then again,
it looks very original. I've never seen anything like that.
He might. I mean,
of course, I'm going to be looking at one now when I hit 59 plus the middle finger.
Oh.
Or yeah.
I mean, you could do it now. Why don't we make them now?
No, I want a Kobe shirt. It just, I mean, because he's already Kobe. Set the trend of, you well, know, why, it's well, the big not? Milestone.
Okay, so that is true. You can't just have a random number.
Right, right. Yeah, you got to have a milestone. So that's pretty cool, though. But, wow, man, if Kobe Bryant is 40, then that makes me pretty damn old. Jesus Christ.
But, I mean, that's the joy of it, though, Gene, right? Like, you get to watch, like, a player, and even if you remember his father playing, like, you got to see two generations.
Yeah.
And this is pretty much the same thing that I guess my generation is going through with LeBron and his son, Bronny. And, of course, he has another son that's, I don't know if he'll be playing basketball like the way Bronny is, but still, at the same time, you get to see a couple guys kind of grow up. Like, I want to say Kenyon Martin and Scottie Pippen's sons both playing the same team in California. So just those little things when you get to see those guys.
I just thought about something. What? Kobe's too old to play for the big three.
He's too old. Oh.
Well, I'm just saying. Wait a minute.
Well, that was a big thing. You know that, right? That, like, you know, they're kind of saying if they could or couldn't. And even Steven Jackson had to go off on somebody, you know, that asked him that question. Because he can if he wanted to. It wouldn't be about money. It just wouldn't be about him going out there having fun.
Well, if Ice Cube is able to make that happen, then you're talking about even more growth for the big three. That would be pretty damn exciting, actually. But great stuff on the tweets.
Yeah. And you know, I have Instagram Live going on right now. Yeah.
Well, they can't see me because
one of my cousins told me that she can make that shirt for you, Gene. So, the shirt will be coming on the way.
You know what? But I can't wear that shirt for another.
We'll have it on ice. We'll have it on ice.
Oh, we'll just hold it because
we're having, you know. It
can I use my own hand as the plus one?
I guess. Yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah. Anyway, you got to make it a certain way so, you know, Kobe can't come back and say.
Get that middle finger all good and ready.
All nice.
Yeah. I don't have a long middle finger like. You know, some people. Well, he's not using his own there.
I need a Kawhi Leonard finger. That's
all.
Oh,
I know. Good Lord. It's almost like a 7-inch finger.
That's like it's two regular fingers. I put it that way.
That's crazy. Hey, I do know that there's some NFL action tonight. It hasn't really started. Everyone's getting kind of excited about the Cleveland Browns. Believe it or not, there's some excitement over this Cleveland team. They're going to be taking on the defending champions, Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles are 0-2, and Jacob just said it's part of that, you know, hangover, Super Bowl hangover, even though it's the preseason, okay? But we talked with Shay, one of the other producers here at the SB Nation, about the excitement of Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns. They're getting ready to kick off here now, so we're going to find out pretty quick.
I definitely love the Baker Mayfield, like, train, and it's going to be riding pretty soon. Mm-hmm. But I'm still really invested in how does Tyrod Taylor have, you know, whenever he has this core, and I guess, you know, the way that they're going. And I only seen about two episodes of Hard Knocks. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited about this team.
You know what? I'm serious. It really is something to be excited about because you feel, and I know if fans that do not live in Cleveland, we kind of feel like there's going to be an improvement. How much? I don't know yet. But I think there's going to be an improvement with the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, no doubt. It's going to be night and day.
You can see it.
And especially when you live in a household, when you got people from Ohio in it, you can definitely not just hear it, you can feel it. And I think this is a whole feeling that it's not just a physical turnaround, but an emotional turnaround as well, too. And with Jarvis Landry, whenever he's coming out with saying a couple of things, and I like the confidence. He came out and said that he believes that he is the best wide receiver in the league. And I like that confidence. Whenever I saw him at LSU on the other side of Odell Beckham, I used to think that last year that they're there with Zach Menberger. Jarvis Landry had a little bit of edge on Odell, just a little bit. After the Odell catch, though, against the Cowboys, that's when it really took flight. But then again, when you think about, you know, him and Tannehill, was Tannehill even that guy to really be, you know, Jarvis Landry making Tannehill look good?
I can't wait till we get to that point, till we get to the AFC East. I tell you what, folks, when we come back, it's Big 3 Basketball Talk right here. The great one, Michael Cooper, will join the Sports Kings. You're listening to the Sports Kings without the Queen tonight here on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Sports Kings on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Mean Gene the Sports Machine and David Ramone.
All right, we are back once again, the Sports Kings tonight. Mean Gene and David Ramone, and D-Lo, our queen, is not here tonight. She's enjoying the day off. So we just got word from Brooklyn, New York, that the Three's Company is still practicing. They will wrap up practice here, and we will get them on in the next segment because I guess Coop saw something that he didn't like.
Oh, of course. And I mean,
being the defensive-minded coach that he is.
You make it to the championship game, like, you're going to have to, you know, get some stuff clear. And, I mean, you got a big game coming up. You're not just playing against power, but also you got to think about what Big Baby
maybe
has been
Baron
doing.
Davis said something that upset him.
Quite possibly.
I know it, huh? All right, so while we're waiting on them to wrap up practice in Brooklyn, New York, how about we talk about a very hot topic that's just really been in the news for the last couple of weeks. And, of course, it was the Urban Meyer situation. Urban Meyer was suspended by Ohio State on Wednesday for the first three games of the season for his mishandling of a domestic violence accusations. And, I mean, this has just been very, very, very hot topic here. So, David, I want to go ahead and see what's on your mind.
I mean, it's a consensus thing about how he handled the situation. And, of course, it was handled very badly, poorly. And especially this is the worst time where you can definitely come to a situation like this. And it's not like things haven't happened leading up to this. So that's why you kind of take you don't really understand like what kind of precautions that he was taking on the way to this, because you would think, just because looking at what happened, you know, what's been going on in college football, even before, think about Patino and how we talked about him being so high and then being able to crash, burning down into a situation like he was in. Art Briles, even, you know, for him to be covering up the stuff that he did and to kind of be blackballed from football now and, you know, be, you know, taking a job in Italy or wherever he's at now. It's like as if people didn't kind of really realize that football, even college football especially, was going into a situation where it's a lot harder to hide things and you can't just really take care of situations like the way you used to. I understand that to be a college football head coach, even be a head coach period at any university for any sport, you have to be wired a certain way. You have to be able to take on certain situations. You have to be a type of person, be able to not just lead a staff and the students or the player athletes, but at the same time, you got to be able to manage so many other things that sometimes are not even in your control, but you kind of know that regardless of the situation, it's going to affect you because you're the head. If this is, let's just say that this is a big robot, right? Figuratively speaking, you are the head, you are the core, you are the heartbeat of everything because you are the face. You're the one getting paid the millions of dollars to be able to lead this team, not just to a championship and for wins, but also, I don't want to say ethically speaking, but at the same time, like, you're going to be the guy who's going to be looked at regardless of the situation of whoever messed up.
Well, I tell you what, I'm trying to sit here and figure out, well, how did we go from, you know, when this thing first, you know, broke a while back, that it just really, really, really looked like he would be fired. I mean, because things were, you know, just coming from every which direction, and people were quickly going back to, you know, his Florida days and all of those players that got in trouble with the law and the fact that he stepped down for health reasons. Who knows, you know, maybe the stress of not so much what was happening on the field, but maybe off the field. But then, you know, he comes back and this, that, and the other. But the main thing, though, you know, if you're the head coach, you're the leader, and it's all it falls on your watch. And granted, he was looking out for this kid, Zach Smith, right? And because of an obligation to his grandfather, right?
And that's the thing, too. So how bad are you going to be able to keep someone on there knowing that it also risks your job, too? Like, I understand that, you know, there's a legacy, and also when someone looked out for you, you got to do the same thing in return. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of points that I understand that, but at the same time, there's a lot of things that just didn't add up and kind of
Yeah.
Did you kind of feel that you kind of had more of a power in this situation?
Knew way more than what he led people to believe. But, you know, but here's the thing that I'm looking at, and I'm thinking, okay, well, first of all, how do you even fire someone that has over $38 million left on his contract? So, I mean, I think that probably weighed more on Ohio State than anything, because it's just not so easy to fire this guy knowing that he's going to walk away. That you're still going to owe him. You're going to be on the hook for lots of money.
A lot of money, but also I hear that the reason why the meetings yesterday were taking so long was because he was really trying to fight even being suspended for the games
that
he
was. Ridiculous.
And I get some of the things. Like, for example, Shea was, you know, letting me know about, you know, the surgeries that he had for, you know, or like the obligations that, well, I wouldn't say obligations, but the things that he had that was wrong with him and his brain surgeries and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And some of those things you can definitely understand, because that could have been a reason why that he was forgetting, you know, some of the things. And at the same time, though, like what we were saying a little earlier, regardless of all those situations that are going to happen to you and may be your personal problems, mm-hmm. it still doesn't affect the way you're going to be able to carry this team and be a leader at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, because you still got to, even through the suspensions, and I mean, because he's really been relieved, he was relieved of duties up until this, right? So, I mean, he's been away from football operations pending this whole decision. But, you know, the contract that he signed, I mean, there was a clause in there that mentioned that he could be fired for this very same reason, for cause mainly.
Exactly.
And one of the things I always want to talk about is the fact that, okay, so you have an athletic director and you have, I mean, you have to keep going up, because in the military, which, you know, I served in the Army and the Navy, you know, in the military, when you see things go down, you know, it starts with the squad leader, the sergeant, goes all the way up to the general. People will lose their jobs. So in this particular case, so Urban Meyer should have been fired, but so should the athletic director. He should have been fired as well. Gene Smith, who's not related
Are you saying so that, you know, the situation should have been handled not just better from Urban Meyer, but also everyone should be.
Well, sometimes you have to, because you take the USC situation with, you know, with USC went through all of that stuff back in the day. The president of the university had to get in there and take charge. You know, you have to, okay, we're going to fire the coach and we're going to fire the athletic director. So we have to get in and clean up this whole mess.
But this is the thing too, Gene. Like, I feel that the job for athletic director today is way different than what it was, the way it used to be. Because quite honest, I would say if you were to really go digging around each and every program, not just in Power 5 schools, but mm-hmm. also any Division I school, you will find something. And that's really, to me, the name of the game in the NCAA is do something until you get caught doing it.
Well, and you're right about finding something, because there's probably more happening in sports that don't get any attention. You know, who's to say that the water polo team or the soccer team ain't up to no good? But, you know, that ain't really what we're focusing on. You know, it's all about the moneymakers. It's NCAA basketball and NCAA football. Those are the moneymakers. Those are the newsworthy stories. But you're right, something, and the athletic director has to look at everything. But every once in a while you hear stories about golf. You know, the North Carolina. You know, the golf. Duke lacrosse. So you not North Carolina. I do apologize. I don't want any Tar Heels.
Well, they go through their own stuff too.
Well, they do go through some stuff. I was actually thinking about the Duke lacrosse team.
Even when you think about what A&M and Jimbo Fisher had to be going through today, mm-hmm. and talking about that one recruit, or yesterday, even the one recruit transfer, and saying all the things that was going on in the, you know, over there, just in the short time Jimbo has been there. Like I said, if you go digging around any other school campus and try to go find something, mm-hmm. you're going to find something. It's going to trickle down. And
somebody's always digging. Somebody's probably always digging. There's probably those folks out there that will just dig. I mean, it should be your compliance officers at your schools that they should find things first, because there's always that in-house, hey, well, we discovered it, so we're going to punish ourselves. You know, that happens.
Just nipping it in the bud before anything can really happen. And It's the sad part of the NCAA because there's so many things that we can complain about the entity, the NCAA, but also when you talk about the schools and, like you said, the compliance offices, there's even more to really research.
There's a whole lot of oversight there. So anyway, we have to finish this topic. Folks, we're going to go ahead and take a break when we come back. Hopefully we'll have the Big Three on in the next segment. You're listening to the Sports Kings Show here on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Sports Kings on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Mean Gene the Sports Machine and David Ramone.
All right, folks, once again, we are back. It's the Sports Kings, Mean Gene and David Ramone. And, folks, we are joined by a individual who we are very happy to have on the show. He played 12 seasons in the NBA, five-time NBA champion, five-time all-defensive team, WNBA coach, championship coach, and now he's the head coach of the Threes Company team that's going to be playing Power tomorrow night at the Barclays Center. Please welcome Michael Cooper.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Coach, we are doing great. How are you? That's the question.
Good, good. All that noise you heard was just coming from practice, so we're just getting off the team bus.
All right, Coach. Well, I tell you what, Michael, I got to ask you because you are really surprising me and everyone else out there with the fact that something about coaching that we have discovered that you're pretty damn good at. So how did you get into this with the Big Three?
You know, I was sitting at home, and the Ice Cube, one of the owners of this whole Big Three thing, always wanted a Laker, he told me, and somehow we got connected, and he gave me a call, and I was more than happy to become part of this. The Big Three is not a gimmick, not a joke, it's for real, it's here to stay. You know, three-on-three basketball is going to be an Olympic sport in 2020, so what a way to start and kick this whole thing off. But you know what, I'm very glad and blessed to be in this opportunity, and this Three Company team is pretty good, and that's why we're playing for another championship.
Hey, Coach, I was there on that first day of practice here in Houston, and, I mean, not just your team, but I remember seeing everyone walk in, and especially for the new players, they really didn't know what to expect, really. So whenever you first came in, what were a couple of things that you wanted to kind of get your feet wet in, and also what are the couple of things that you're kind of able to, you know, transition from, you know, everything that you learned from the NBA, WNBA, and put it into the Big Three and, you know, put it into your coaching?
Well, you know, at the Big Three, with my first coming in, I just kind of like wanted to see. This is new to me, too. Three-on-three goes back to the, you know, before you make it to the NBA, you don't have enough people to play in your block, and you want to go three-on-three. So my anticipation of what was going to happen was how I was going to be able to play, how would I, as a coach, be able to implement plays in three-on-three. And so my first game in Houston, I kind of like just sat and watched. I went over early and watched all the other teams that were involved and got a feel of it, got a chance to talk to some of the Hall of Famer coaches, Nancy Lieberman, Dr. J, Charles Oakley, just to name a few, and ask them, how do you coach these guys? And it comes down to that old thing. You don't necessarily coach them. You manage them a little bit, and you just kind of like make the right substitution and stay on the official. So that's what I kind of did. And as the season went on, I saw where I could make more and more of an impact with our team and watch to see how other teams are playing. Gary Payton did a great job with three-headed monsters, the team he's been. And I took a little bit of his things on getting after him. And you know what? They really, really enjoy the aspect of being coached. And the fun part about it is that I'm a defensive coach. And that's the one thing that I've tried to implement on our team. Not that nobody plays defense, but we're playing a little bit better defense than most teams. And that's why we find ourselves in the position of trying to win a championship.
Absolutely, Coach. And I got to say this because, you know, for the fans that watch the Big Three on TV, I mean, it just looks like so much fun. And how is it that you guys are able to have that much fun but then get serious when you need to?
Well, you know, it's the one thing that when your playing career ends, fortunately for a lot of us, it's been in the NBA, but even in college or, you know, sometimes it ends in high school for you, it's that camaraderie that sports gives you. Doing something together as a team, as five players and 12 players, trying to get something accomplished. And when that is gone, that's the thing that you miss. The Big Three gives you that back, okay? The camaraderie that we all have, all the teams and all the players that are here, when we see each other, we kind of like overlap in practices and obviously do the games. So you're walking through the hallways, your locker rooms, you share with another team that's out there playing. That's the camaraderie. So to me, that's the part that's missing that players get. So when you have that, that competitive nature comes back out, and that's why the league is so intense and it stays so competitive, is because players feel, you know, you don't move as fast, and the good thing about it is you don't have to run 94 feet every time. You just stay half court. Which you get a little breather here and there. And I think that's the thing that players, I think, enjoy, and the reason why our league and the games are so intense and competitive.
Hey, folks, once again, we are talking to the five-time NBA champion, Los Angeles Laker. He is now the head coach of Threes Company with the Big Three Basketball, and they getting ready for a big game tomorrow night against Power. So, Coach, what have you talked with Nancy Lieberman? I mean, are you guys just being enemies right now until tomorrow night?
Well, you know what, Nancy and I paths have crossed many times. I know Nancy when I was playing basketball early in the 80s, and we used to practice during the off season. And her and Ann Myers, the former great women's basketball player, played at UCLA, would play up there at the summertime. And when we played up there, so we passed across. Then in the WNBA, she coached the Detroit Shop. When I was coaching the L.A. Sparks, so our paths crossed there. But we never had an opportunity to play against each other for a championship. So I'm going to really cherish this and enjoy it. I know she's the same. I just saw her walk by. She blew me a kiss. I know that. That's that Wilt Chamberlain Bill Russell thing. You know, Bill Russell would bring Wilt over and then try to kill him on the day of the game. So I understand what the competitive nature is. She understands that. But you know what it's going to be? Two great teams, two pretty good coaches, I think, that are going to be going against each other. And I think when that ball is thrown in for us to get started, I think the competitive juices start flying, and I won't like her, and she won't like me.
So, Coach, I remember, I believe it was week two when the last time y'all played Power, and they kind of got the upper hand. So what can the people expect for tomorrow, and what are some of the adjustments y'all will be making in order to, you know, beat them in the championship?
Well, you know, that was a very close game, and that's one of the games that I have been watching over the last couple of days prior to getting ready to this. Then I watched their last game against Tri-State. You know, there's some secrets that we got, but again, this team is fortified with two bigs, Glenn Davis or Big Baby Davis and Birdman, who do a great job in the paint offensively and defensively. Then they got those three perimeters and Corey Maggette, Mobley, and Quentin Richardson that shoot three. So we're going to have to monopolize some of that, or at least take one of those away from them. I'm not going to give up my secret right here on the radio.
That's one thing
that we are going to do. So expect to see a very highly, very physical game. But I think what we need to do is just get after them. And I think as a team, as you know, this is always an old saying, and Pat Riley put this into play for us when we won the championship against the Celtics. No rebound, no ring. If we can rebound with them and limit them to one shot, and then get multiple shots when we shoot the basketball, we should come out on the positive end.
Hey, Coach, I tell you what, this is exciting, and we definitely wish you guys luck tomorrow night, because you're sort of going for the trifecta, right? You got the NBA championship. You got the WNBA championship. So, I mean, I see the trifecta in your future.
Oh, I got the D-League championship, too, in the Thunderbird, which is now the G-League. So I'm going for the trifecta.
The superfecta. All right,
it's going
folks.
To be fun, enjoyable. I think the players are going to have a great time.
Hey, Coach, we will be watching. Good luck tomorrow night up there in Brooklyn, New York. And it was nice having you on.
Thank you so much. And everybody tune in to ESPN, I believe it's on, right? The championship game. Tune in.
All right. We will. Hey, folks, that is the great five-time NBA champion, five times defensive player of the year, Michael Cooper, who is the coach of Threes Company, and he's going to try to – that's funny what he said about Nancy Lieberman.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing that really stuck out to me is that if he's coaching like Gary Payton, let me tell you how Gary Payton was running his practice. Not only was he yelling at people and cussing people out, if you missed something or did something wrong, you were running a full court sprinting back. And that was the thing, too. That was the only team that was doing that, though. Mm-hmm. Like, he actually making people run up and down the court. Like, actually, you know
– Well, you look. You see Rick Barry and Dr. J and George Gervin. I mean, they were very serious.
Yeah.
I mean, when it looked like the players were having, you know, a lot of fun on the court, you could tell that these guys were serious. I mean, come on. These guys did not come out of retirement to just sit around and just waste time. They are coaching.
But that's the thing that I got out of it too, Gene, because, I mean, I remember telling you that I was just a fly on the wall most of the time. I was just there sitting at practice, and you see Coach Barry and Clyde Drexler walking around just having a normal conversation, and it's – a it's not just a normal conversation. It's two legends being able to talk about basketball and just
it
kind of not even simplifying it, but just talking in a way that you wouldn't get that conversation anywhere else. And it was a whole amazing experience because I think a lot of people kind of downplayed the Big Three just a little bit just because they kind of think, oh, they're older players, you know, it won't be as exciting. But when you get to the nitty grittiness of it and, you know, you kind of start watching games and see how it is, I enjoyed all of it. Every game that I've seen, I don't mind just seeing, you know, a couple post-ups here and there. If you, you know, shoot a full-point shot. It's the, all the old things that you get to see and kind of reminisce about the older game. Yeah, but at the same time, they're still very competitive the whole time.
Yeah, and I, you know what? And watching Michael Cooper on the sidelines, it's the same Michael Cooper that I saw with the Sparks. I mean, he's just always got that smile. And, I mean, you just don't really see him, you know, getting
players
flustered.
Coach.
Yeah, he's a player's coach. And I didn't want to ask him now because I know he's focusing on this big game. But, man, I mean, you know, will we see Michael Cooper in the NBA? I mean, and I'm not necessarily using the Big Three to get him there because I think he was qualified a coach in the NBA before this.
Exactly. And I think if he wanted to go that route, I think it is more than welcoming for him to go there. But at the same time, I dig what they do with the Big Three because at the same time, the stakes are high for them, yes. And it gives them a chance to be competitive. And I think that's the reason, a big reason why a lot of these guys join the Big Three is so they have that competitiveness to be able to scratch that for them. You know, because whenever some guys leave the NBA or are not able to play professional and, you know, in the way they want to, they still have that itch they want to scratch. And this is the perfect way. And all these guys compete. I've never seen a game where someone's acting lazy or not closing out. They do all the small things right. I mean, you're playing half court, so yeah, he was right about you not being able to run around everywhere.
Right,
you conserved
right.
a lot more energy.
Conserve a whole lot. Even though they have way more injuries than you would think that they would have. But, hey, you know, big ups to – we interviewed Ice Cube last year, you know, during the inaugural season of this Big Three. But I tell you what, though, props to him for – you know, if he said he wanted a Laker, you know he was going to get one. It was a matter of who it was going to be. And the fact that he brought in a female. He brought in Nancy Lieberman, and he just didn't bring in any female. He brought in someone who knows the game, who's contributed more to not just – women's sport, but sports in general, and Nancy Lieberman. So this is going to be good because she's been coaching her butt off too.
Oh, man.
Yes.
Honestly, whenever you watch Power, I'm not saying she's definitely something to just – she just takes control of a situation. And you can see all the guys gravitate to her whenever she's talking and speaking. All eyes are on her. No
she's
one's
a
really
Hall of Famer.
Around. No one's really, you know, farting off or anything.
Right.
I mean, she has everyone's respect, not just in with the power, but
even
also
Chris
around Anderson's. The whole league. Yeah, exactly.
Of all people. Hey, but you know what? And I don't want to say this to Michael Cooper, but, man, Power does have a hell
stack.
Of a team
They're
here.
Stack.
Good Lord. I mean, come on. Now, if you're a Los Angeles Clippers, and see, and
yeah,
I covered this Clippers.
Clippers.
I covered this Clippers team when they
– Miles. That's all.
That's all they're missing. When Katina Mobley, McGetty, and – Quentin Richardson was on that team.
Yep.
Every night, we're in the locker room talking to these guys. It was an exciting team that Larry, what was his name? Alvin Gentry had.
Yeah.
And I thought they were going places, and they just couldn't. Even Lamar Odom. I mean, that was a stacked
Lamar Odom,
team.
Yeah, a very young team for that era of play, yeah.
And
very
so
exciting.
Nancy Lieberman inherits a pretty good team.
Yeah.
And, of course, just like Cooper said, and I knew you would say, that he's all defensive-minded, and that's how Three's Company got to where they are.
I mean, of course, when you got someone as big as Jason Maxcio, and of course, to me, the unsung hero has been Andre Emmett, you know, from Dallas, Texas, big Texas Tech guy. He also was very cool whenever I was down there, you know, during the interview and stuff. So he can go offensively, but he also is one of those guys who's 6'5",
yeah.
can go
well,
guard
I mean,
all positions.
Yeah, I mean, he is good. He's really good. Drew Gooden, so and Jason Maxiel. So I tell you what, good game tomorrow night. It's going to be on at 8 p.m. I believe that's Eastern time.
On Fox.
And it's on Fox.
Yeah.
It's not ESPN.
No.
What was Fox. Michael Cooper thinking about? Okay.
You had him on the spot.
I was wondering. I'm like, they moved the ESPN? Really? So, okay. But anyway, no, the game is going to be on Fox tomorrow night. All of their games are on Fox. But anyway, so that was great. And I tell you what, we are going to take
wrap up the first hour already.
Wrap up this first hour, and when we come back, that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to wrap up the first hour. So you're listening to the Sports Kings here on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Sports Kings on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Mean Gene, the Sports Machine, and David Ramone.
Wait a minute. Now, yeah, Jacob, somebody must have told you about Mean Gene and his old school. I just know you didn't figure this one out on your own. He done went way back.
That's that, Africa Bambaataa?
Yeah. I didn't know I was figuring anything out.
Did you just hit the wrong button or something?
Yeah, that
is the jam.
That was a
right
mistake.
There. See, that's what I'm talking about. Woo!
Perfect mistake.
That was not supposed to happen.
That's good stuff. So
I apologize.
No, don't apologize. That's great stuff. So we want to thank Michael Cooper for joining us from Brooklyn, New York, as the Big Three Championship game takes place tomorrow night at the Barclays Center. His team, Three's Company, prepares for Power, which is coached by Nancy Lieberman, and just great stuff.
Yeah, I think this is the season that Big Three starts really taking off because they did all the marketing so well. They made sure not just people of sports knew about it, but also having it on a bigger network and also it being live,
yeah,
like we talked about earlier. It's a big
that,
thing.
That did, and recruiting, you know.
And also it's going to get bigger at the Olympics, too, because I think a lot of people haven't let that sink in that there's going to be a three-on-three Olympics.
And how timely for Ice Cube to actually know that and see that.
He jumped on it. What a good business.
So, because you know it's going to be around. You know it's going to stay. So, hey, when we come back in the next hour,